All right, hey everybody, if it is Tuesday, it must be Tuesdays with Dave. And I want to welcome everybody to the call. Hope your day is going good. We got lots of great answers to some great questions that I know are coming in and some that came through the email. It's really busy here in the office today. We are getting ready for an influx of close to 1,000 people coming in for Ultimate Partnering 9. We're pretty much sold. Pardon me? Is there an operator on the line? I'm having a lot of feedback on my line, so I'm going to get an operator to come on here to clear up, and I just heard a couple of voices, so I'm not sure what's going on, if everybody's muted or not. So in the meantime, what we're going to do is I'm going to welcome the new students that have come on board from Orange County, down in Charlotte and some other places, so welcome aboard. And I also want to give a high five to Brittany Turner and Christine Longcrier. That's an interesting last name, Longcrier, from Nashville, Tennessee. They were doing single-family homes until early 2000, made some money, but it was a job. They had to find a better way to live. So they joined coaching in 2014. They did their first deal. It was a 73-unit property in Nashville. 6 months later, or since 2014, they acquired 540 units. Oh, after they joined Mastery, they had the 73-unit property within 6 months, and now they're up to 540 units. In 2016, they sold the 73-unit and made a cool $2 million profit. He writes, "You couldn't have done it without the help of our mentor and those coaches." So high five to Brittany and Christian. For making a $2 million profit. Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Let's go. Still waiting for the operator. So typically you would press star zero to queue in for the questions, but don't do it yet because I don't have an operator on this line yet. So I'm going to go to the questions. So I have a question. Oh, so here's the thing. Ultimate Partnering 9 starts Friday. So everybody here is crazy. I'm putting the last bits and pieces together for my presentation. I'm going to open it up, and then we are going to have some really good presentations. Nissan's going to come on. He's going to talk about how to find niche deals. Scott Stafford's going to talk about the 5 best emerging markets right now in the U.S., very niche kind of markets. I was looking at those. He's going to talk about demographics and how to actually find those markets. Bob Bowman's going to compare apartment underwriting to commercial underwriting. We're going to do speed networking before lunch on the first day. So all that happens on the very first day. Second day, we're going to have a panel of people that started with us with nothing and are now multimillionaires. And they're going to talk about how they did it. From there, we'll go into Emmett Smith. Emmett Smith's going to give his presentation. That ought to be a lot of fun. And then the VIP members and Mastery students will have their pictures taken with Emmett. And then after lunch on the second day, I'm remembering this from the top of my head. We've got Noah St. John coming in. He's going to be talking about, winning the battle inside of your mind, because that's where a lot of people lose the battle, and they never really get started in their business. So he's going to give a how-to on that. And then we've got a bunch of stuff. So it's going to be a great event. So here's the thing. Relatively sold out on this event. The only way to get tickets is if somebody cancels at this particular point. But what we did decide to do for the first time, and probably the only time because it's been such a big hassle, is we decided to live stream it. So if you're wondering what's going on there, if you want to watch these presentations, and we get some really good ones, if you want to watch the presentations and see what's happening even behind the scenes here, and there's going to be some special presentations just for the people that are viewing on the live stream, you can go to ultimatepartnering.com. And you will see, because you're on this call, you will see a very discounted price on there to get on the live stream. So if you want to get some great information on how to grow your business, my opening presentation is going to be the eight ways that you need to the eight specializations you need in your business in order to scale it. So my presentation is all about scaling your multifamily business, whether you're just starting out, whether you've got a few deals, or whether you've got a lot of deals and you just want to figure out how to get to the next level. So go to ultimatepartnering.com if you are not coming and you want to watch us live. Be part of the fun. Yeah. All right. So I got a question from Pamela Tate Gibson from Chicago. She says, I wonder if she likes deep dish pizza. My brother Jeff ate an entire deep dish pizza once. Couldn't believe it. You know it. It's like all dough. So are we having a mastery meet and greet this year at Ultimate Partnering 9? Yes, you will. That will be at Jeff's doing a presentation at 8 o'clock for a VIP, and there'll be that will be in the networking room. So the networking room is off registration. That's Thursday night before the event. Starts at 7:30. Registration opens at 7. Opens at 7:30 on Friday morning. But 7 o'clock Thursday night, networking room opens at 7:30. Jeff does a presentation at 8 inside that room. Chris McKenna from Minneapolis, Minnesota writes in. Here's the deal with that last name, McKenna. Did you know that everybody on the Massachusetts toll pike, all those fare takers, everybody's name was McKenna. And the first name was Dick. Dick McKenna was always the guy that took your toll at the toll booth. But now Massachusetts doesn't have any toll booths anymore. It's all done electronically. So the McKennas are all out of business. That may be why Chris is writing in. So he writes in, one thing I'd like to discuss is LIHTC, which is Limited Income Housing Tax Credit, Section 42. As I analyze more and more, I have found properties with existing contracts that go through 2023. My question is, do I need to stay away from these or, no, underwrite them as normal and add the tax credit to the income? What should we be aware of in these situations, and is there certain key items I need to look for? If so, what would they be? So here's the thing on these tax credits. I'm not sure about this specific program, but I can give you an overview of what the tax credits are all about. Basically, what they're all about is a developer gets a tax credit from a municipality in order to build a low-income housing building or an income-restricted building, meaning that you can't earn over a certain income and get housing there, and the rents are typically at reduced rates. So the benefit of the tax credit for us as investors is to get them a year or two before they're about to come out of their tax credit status, because typically that low income status needs to be on the property for a 15-year minimum. So if we can get one of these buildings at year 13 and they cash flow with the existing numbers on there, then at year 15, we can raise the rents to market and make buku money because, there's going to be a big – it's like a value add, big, huge value add on the property because you're bringing the property to market. So 2023 is kind of far away. It's 5 years away. So that's kind of you know, it could cash flow at that time, but the problem is you're always going to be restricted in terms of – if a cash flow is great, buy it. But you would be buying it for cash flow and then a long-term gain 5 years down the road instead of doing what we do now, which is to buy for an immediate value add, improve the property, and then increase the cash flow and increase our value. So if you get that time frame available and the cash flow is great, yeah, buy it. If it's just marginal cash flow and it might struggle for the next 5 years, don't buy it. So we look for the ones that have 2 years or less remaining. And then one of the questions I wanted to address, and that is when you talked about the underwriting, do I underwrite them as normal and add the tax credit to the income? The tax credit is pretty much sold off. So what the tax credit is the municipality says, we will give you, say, 85% tax credit for 5 years, and then after that you pay normal taxes, and you typically only paying 15% for those first 5 years. It could be over the life of the existence as well. But the thing is those tax credits get sold off to a larger company for, say, 70 or 80 cents on the dollar for bigger companies that really need the tax credits. So they get the developer typically gets an immediate gain from that tax credit, so it's not realized going forward. So if you're going to analyze this deal, those tax credits are probably already sold off, and that wouldn't be part of the equation. So, long answer to that question, but tax credits, if you can get the right property at the right time, oh boy, good deal. All right, do I have an operator on the line now? No?
Could either Jermaine? Yes, you do. I do apologize. I'm here.
Oh, okay, great. So, it sounds like the phone system's fixed anyways. I had some feedback and some people talking on my line, but no more, so that's good. So, you're available, okay. So when people press *0, they can queue up.
Yes? Yes. Yes, they can go ahead and press their zero. The only thing is I don't think I'm going to be able to announce their names. I'm going to have to do it this time and improvise a little bit with just their phone number.
You don't have to say the phone. Just say next caller. Go ahead, and then they can introduce themselves.
Okay. Sound just good? if they have pressed *0, just make sure that you speak, because we have a few queuing up right now. So just make sure and speak, and whoever's line's open, then that will be the next question. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna open. We have a question. If you can go ahead and state your question, you're live now.
You're live. Okay.
You're live.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello, Dave.
Who's that? Yeah.
Hi, Dave. This is Roy Jones out of Dallas, Texas with the Soar Eagle Management Group. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Certainly looking forward to UP9. Would you mind discussing the Shark Tank and how that process works and when it will take place?
Shark Tank's going to be on the third day in the morning. Starts at 9, and there's going to be five or six sharks up there. And basically, if you've got a deal that you want presented to the sharks, you got to get it over to Jeannie, like now. And she is going to sift through those deals. And, it's going to be a deal where you've got to do analysis. You've got to you got to have the income and the expenses, and you got to have it ready to present. And you got 3 minutes.
Yeah, I've already done that, so we're in good shape on that. Yeah, absolutely. So just wanted to know the logistics of it.
Yeah, just get it over to Jeannie. Get it over to Jeannie now, and then if she has any questions, she'll call you on it, and then we'll get it into the queue of deals.
Okay, all right.
And then you can,
thank you, sir.
And hold on. The format is you got 3 minutes to present. They have 5 minutes to ask questions, and then you move forward.
Oh, okay. Okay, look forward to it. Thank you.
All right, good luck.
Thanks.
Okay, our next question, it's from an area code 713. Please go ahead, you are live now.
Hello,
okay.
Who's next?
I am here. I am Loxley in Houston. Hi, Dave.
How are you?
Pretty good. I'll be at UP9. I have a question here. Two parts. First of all, I'm a master's student in my second year. I had to stop out for a while due to some of the problems. I'm getting back in. And I just want to ask, is it a good idea to go in as a passive investor with an emerging deal rather before I actually start one myself?
Is it a good idea to do what?
I've been contacted, invited to join into a deal,
yep,
with fellow RE mentors, students, and past,
yep,
students. So
okay.
I'm asked, do you think it's a good idea to go in and get some experience that way before I actually put a deal together for myself?
Well, if it's a good opportunity, and it's a good deal, I don't see why not. I don't think, there's... You do one or the other first. I think you could be doing both at the same time, and then whatever one hits first, you go after, and then you keep doing both. But I don't think it's a bad thing.
Okay.
All
right.
Certainly, yeah. Don't think. Are you going in as a money partner? Are you going in as a partner in the business? Or how are you going in as?
Well, the invitation, I'll be going in as a money partner.
All right.
To invest.
The one thing you just have to be careful of is I'm just talking in general, is people will promise that they're going to, take you step by step through the process, or they're going to, make all decisions with all the investors and all that. You yourself have to ask a lot of questions in the deal. You just got to be, and you've got to analyze those numbers. You got to ask questions about the numbers. You got to all the decisions that are being made about the property, the staffing, and all that. You got to ask questions about those, and that's how you'll get value out of that. If you're just a passive investor and you just read the reports every month, you're not going to get a lot of value.
Okay.
You may make some money if it's a great deal, and that's not a bad thing. But
if
you're looking to learn, you've got to be responsible for your own education when somebody brings you into their deal.
All right. The other part about it is that I don't think it met your three, that holy trinity. One of them was. The cash on cash was only 9.5% for the first year. So I think you want it to be up to about 12%, correct?
The cash on cash return, how much for the first year?
9.5.
Okay.
And
what was your question?
The cap rate was 8, and the debt ratio coverage is 1.7. So it's almost there, but I was wondering that if it has to meet all three.
It's odd for it to be an 8 and a 1.7 and not hit the cash-on-cash return. I wonder why that is.
Okay.
I wouldn't be able to tell, but, you know, I wonder why that is. That's really the most important number, too, is the cash flow.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Right on. Welcome back.
I'll
see you at UP9.
That's right.
Get some sleep.
I will.
All right. See you there. All right. Who is my next questioner?
Okay. Up next, we have a question coming from an area code 856. Please go ahead.
All right. All right, 856.
Hey, Dave. Joe from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. How are you?
Joe, what goes on in Cherry Hill? Is that where George Washington cut down that tree?
Yes, there's none left at all. he cut them all down.
Well, he could not tell a lie.
Yeah. Listen, Dave, I'm dealing with property managers. I'm trying to pin them down on a management fee, and if I throw out to them a hypothetical 50 unit in a certain area, they're very reluctant to give me a management fee. Is there any way I work around that?
I wonder why that is. Why won't they tell you what they charge?
I don't know. They keep telling me, well, it depends on where it is and, you know, what kind of building it is. And I say, well, what more do you need? It's a 50 unit in this area. You know, what else would you need? And they're very reluctant to give me a percent.
That's really uncommon.
I've run into two or three companies that have done that to me. And also one of the companies mentioned a setup fee, $150 per unit setup fee. Is that normal also?
No, that is not normal.
No, okay.
That's
okay. Right.
$150 per unit setup fee.
It's a lot of money. I did it, you know, on 50 units, a lot of money.
I would not work with that company because they're going to have all kinds of fees. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
They've got that in there.
Okay, and getting around the percent, is there any way to finesse that or come at it from a different point of view?
Yeah, why don't you say, I understand that the management fees in your area are typically 5%. Why don't you go, at a 50 unit, it's probably closer to 10%, you know, 10% of revenues.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I would say something like, I understand that the management fees in your area are 6% of revenues. Collected revenues. Is that what your fee is? There you go. Hit it like that. And then if they say yes, you've got it at a lower fee than normal. If they say no, you know, it's typically this, and you know what it really is. So that's what I would
say. Yeah, because trying to pin them down, you know, even 1% difference throws off your numbers a little bit and try to get as close as I can to the Trinity.
I would do your numbers based on 10% because I don't think you're going to get it I don't think it's going to be more than that for a 50 unit, but I really don't think it's going to be less than that either. Until you get to about 75, the price break is at about 70 units or above, then they'll come down to like 6 or 8. But at a 40 to 50, anything below 50 or below is almost always a 10.
Okay. All right, very good. All right, Dave, I'll see you at UP9.
All right, see you there.
Okay.
Lots of business cards.
Okay. I had new ones printed up with my picture on it.
Oh, there you go. Is it? It's not glossy, is it? It's something that people can write on?
It's a little bit glossy, yeah, on the back. But, you know, they're going to have to work around that.
You should have the special pen that will write on that card easy so they can give them the pen to write your name.
Special Ari Mentor pen.
Something like that, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Dave, thanks.
All right, see you there.
Right.
All right, who's the next caller?
Okay, up next we have from area code 858. Please go ahead.
All right, 858, what's going on? Who is
this
anyway?
Hi, Dave, it's Rhea. Hi, Dave, it's Rhea calling from La Jolla. How are you today?
Hey, Rhea, how's it going? La Jolla Shore is my favorite.
It's my favorite, too. You can't
have you been
go
to that Japanese
here,
restaurant down in the village?
What's that?
Have you been to that Japanese restaurant down in the village of La Jolla Shores?
I have not, no. My favorite restaurant on the shores is Piatti's.
Oh, is that Italian?
Yes.
Oh, I've
seen
that.
It's real Italian, which you don't get very often here on the West Coast. So.
That's true. So what else is going on? What else is going on in your world?
Well, I'm looking at a property, and I'd love to get your thoughts in general. It's actually a pocket listing as opposed to one that's generally listed, so that was a good thing for me. I was happy to be getting that. It's a development where the owner owns 40% of all of the properties, but it's not like an apartment. It's a series of buildings. So he's the head right now of the HOA because he is the major owner of all of the buildings. He owns 40% of the total. So he's looking to retire. So that's how I got this property, talking to his broker. So my first question is that the kind of type of deal you would look at, because it's not like an individual property. It's part of a development, but he owns the majority of the properties.
Yep. The short answer is no. And the long answer is no. And the reason why is because you don't own the actual property, and because of that you don't have control. You don't have control of your the other owner's units. And when you don't have control of the other owner's units, you know, they could rent to anybody, and you could see that property denigrate very, very quickly. So that's why we don't buy anything. We don't buy any HOAs or condo conversions. You know, part of projects. It's either the whole project or no project. Now, if you're looking to buy a bunch and flip them, you know, as a flipping type of a strategy, that might work, you know, but not as a long-term hold.
Okay. Well, and that's the big question, because I wasn't really sure, you know, how to do this or whether it even made a lot of sense. So that's my big question right now. So I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. Good luck out there.
Thanks.
I think of La Jolla Shores all the time.
I'm here all the time.
All right. You'll have to come take me to your favorite Italian restaurant when I come down there.
Sounds good.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. I'll see you in a couple of days.
Oh, see you at UP9. Okay. Now, listen, rest your jaw bones, because you're going to get a workout. It's going to be so much networking. It's going to be crazy.
I'll do that. Thanks.
Okay. See you there.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Who's next?
Okay, up next we have from a area code 201. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, how are you, Dave? This is me. This is Freddie from Union City, New Jersey.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, my friend. I have a question. I attended the Multifamily Millions boot camp in March in New Jersey, and the speaker mentioned something about the title insurance, that they didn't want to buy a new policy, but they spoke to the previous or the current carrier, insurance carrier, and asked them for an endorsement. I think it's first use endorsement. I don't really remember the exact name. I wonder if you know what I'm talking about.
I do. I don't use it that often. It was Steve that probably recommended that.
Yes, Steve. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you can lower your some things. You can lower your cost by getting. But I'm not exactly sure how that works. I haven't. I've done it once. It was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it can be done, and I know it will save you money if you can do it. I just can't remember exactly how it is done.
Okay. So how can I get in touch with
Steve?
Not really. I had already plans with my mom.
Either you are or you aren't. You have other
plans? No, I'm not. With mom, yes.
Oh,
she lives in Colombia. I haven't seen her in 2 years.
You could bring your mother, bring her to a nice restaurant on the seashore, have her get a tan, see where Paul Revere rode, have a Sam Adams, where Sam Adams actually lived. Do you know that the Town Brewery in Boston is the only place where you could be drinking a cold Sam Adams and looking across the street and seeing a cold Sam Adams, because he's buried right across the street?
Wow, didn't know that. No, I know I'm missing a lot.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun. We got the live stream going on too, so it was for people that couldn't get in, but you can certainly get on the live stream and see what's going on as well. That's ultimatepartnering.com. You can check that out if you want to.
Okay, perfect.
So to get a hold of Steve, call the office, ask Jeannie. Jeannie has his contact information, and she'll get you a hold of Steve, and he'll explain to you how it worked out. The reason I asked that, because Steve is going to be the MCA.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
Can I have another question?
Sure.
Okay, I have a meeting with my first potential investors. They are my doctor's friends. So I want to have your advice on how to address or, do the presentation.
Well, you know, you've got to, you want to be as authentic as possible with high integrity. You want to explain to them exactly, you know, what to do, how you do it. If you don't have any experience, you know, how you've been educated on how to do it. And then tell them the types of deals that you're looking for and let them know that, you know, and basically ask them if I get a deal like this, is this something you might be interested in investing? So you might even come out and say, if I get a deal like this, how much would you have available to invest? That would be a good aggressive way to ask.
Okay. How much would you have? Okay. Perfect. All right, Dave. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck with that.
Right. Thanks.
If you want to do a deep brief after you do that presentation, I'll be happy to talk about what you did right, what you did wrong, and what you can do better the next time.
Okay.
Just call
great.
The office up an appointment for next week.
Sure. Sure do.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. Who's next? Let me see. Let me look down and see if I got another question here. I got several. Jose Rivera from San Antonio writes in. I'm doing a 5-year project, and I'm using interest only for the first 2 years and then a conventional loan for the remaining years. My question is, do I change my projected price for years 3, 4, and 5, or do I keep the price the same when doing the projections? I'm assuming that the projected price for years 3, 4, and 5 are what would be the disposition price if they sold the property. So the answer to that question is it's already baked into the formula, because with your principal and now the principal being deducted or being charged in the loan instead of just the interest, your debt service is going to go higher on year 3, which typically sees your return go lower, your cash on cash return. But the net effect is that it's going to change your net operating income, your NOI. So your NOI is going to be multiplied by your exit cap rate, which if you're smart and you're underwriting right now, you should be underwriting at a higher exit cap rate than you're buying into right now, because that's where the market's going. Let's say you buy in at an 8 cap, then you should project that your resale price is based on an 8.5 cap or something like that. So be thinking like that, because you know interest rates are going to go up. Things are going to change. So it's baked into the equation, because your net operating income is going to be affected by the change in your debt service, so your projected price will change. So that's the answer to that question. All right, Charles Seaman from Brooklyn, New York writes in. I wonder if he is a heir to the Seaman banks that are all over the Boston East Coast area. So Charles writes in, if I'm putting in an offer and it is 50% below the asking price, should I have a strike price or just leave the offer as is? I'm thinking this question. So if the offer is 50% below the asking price, if the offer is not the strike price, then yes, you should have a strike price after that. And your strike price is whatever your numbers work out to be. Charles, your question is very confusing. So if you're listening, call in and explain that question. But I can simply say this. You do the numbers on a deal. You figure out, you know, what type of percent, you know, what you need to give the cash-on-cash return for your investors, which is typically 8% annualized and usually above 16 for the entire deal. I'm sorry, above 16 annualized. And the cash-on-cash return is about 8%. Okay, so you do those numbers, and you figure out if you can carve out at least 25% of that deal, then you move forward with the deal. So that would be your strike price. Now, if you want to go lower than strike price when you start negotiating, which everybody should because there's going to be negotiations involved, then typically your opening offer is about 10% below strike price, and then you move from there, depending upon the size of the deal. The bigger deals, 10%. The smaller deals, you might go a little bit more. So that's offer strategy. So let's open it up for some more callers. Who's next?
Okay, we have no further questions at the moment. If you do have a question, please press star 0 for questions, please. Thank you.
Press star 0 And you can get a question in on this pre-UP9 Tuesday. And then, and I've got a question here from Daniel Trujillo from Denver, Colorado. And he writes in, is there an easier way to get brokers to respond to your requests? I am talking to brokers, but having a hard time getting them to send me all of the information I need. Well, you know, it all depends on the types of brokers that you're working with, because if they view you as somebody that they really want to sell a deal to, they'll give you the information that you need to make an educated decision. If you haven't quite gotten the relationship to that point yet, then you may be working on your relationships with the broker a little bit more. Sometimes, you know, brokers hold back giving you information because they really want to sell it to somebody else who they know is a closer. So they make it hard for you to get the information, and then they tell you it's under agreement. But all that means is your relationship isn't strong with the broker yet. So really you should be working on your broker relationships. You know, what do you have in common with them, your commonality. Focus on the commonality, you know, something outside of real estate. Become friends, and then you'll see that barrier drop, and you'll see that you'll get all the information you need to analyze a deal properly when you have strong relationships. Leslie Hodson from Seattle, Washington writes in. She says, is the 10% the standard rule of thumb when it comes to vacancy, or can we use another number if the 10% makes the deal not work, or does it depend on the size of the property? Okay, so you get 10% from boot camp. We use it as a very conservative rule of thumb, but basically the way it really works is you take a look at the vacancy, and then you determine what the market vacancy is in the area, or let's say occupancy. A little easier to explain with occupancy. So let's say we have an occupancy in the area of 93%. And the property that you're looking at is occupied at 97%, okay? Well, you're going to drop down to the 93% because that's – or at least 95%. You're going to drop down – because that's the way the bank's going to underwrite it. So you never underwrite it anything higher than 95%. So let's say the market's at 93% and their property's at 89%. So you drop down to the 89% on the underwriting. You wouldn't underwrite at 93. So if you're equal – or greater than the market, all right, then you would underwrite at that number unless it goes over 95%. If the property is analyzing at less than the market, a lower percentage, then you go with the lower percentage. It's kind of confusing. But always be conservative. And I'll just say it one more time for those that didn't get it. And I'll give another example, a better example. So let's say you get a property, the market's at 90%, the property is occupied at 93%, then you would analyze at the 93%. If you get a market at 90% and the property is performing at 88%, then you would analyze at the 88%. So don't use the rule of thumb. Use what's going on in the market. Unless it's a 6 units or below, then use the 10% rule of thumb. All right, let's open it up to some more questions. Who's next?
Okay, up next we have Marty. Marty, please go ahead.
Hey, David. We just finished completing the 3-day RE mentor course, and we did go with the diamond level, so we're very new at this and looking forward to it. I've got a background in something similar, not single family homes, but looking forward to getting involved with this. And I have what I refer to as some low hanging fruit properties, properties that I've insured in the past. I'm in the insurance business. And I've got a nice database of these properties, and I know the owners pretty well. So should I capitalize on this low hanging fruit now? In other words, I haven't gone through anything but the 3-day course, and I'm new to the mastery program, so I don't know. I don't want to, you know, get too far ahead of the game. But I'd like to go ahead and start contacting these people. And if I get somebody that has a property they're looking to sell, is that something that I do now, or is it too early? Do I need to wait a few weeks to get into the course, or do I start now?
No, I start now. I would start now and use your coach for guidance to go through the process. Yep.
Okay. I just didn't want to get ahead of myself, but your course is so thorough. It's a lot of information. So, I wanted to didn't know if we had to get to a certain level in training before I could even have the wherewithal to present the offer if I found one that was interesting. So,
I'm a firm believer of jumping right into the fire. You know, there's a really good book called Ready, Fire, Aim. And that's the way I look at it. If there's opportunity, I jump into it. The good thing about you know, going into an opportunity is you've got the online learning center, and you can go into those competencies. So if you're at the analyzation stage and analyzing deals, you know, there's a whole competency on analyzing, and you can go through all those, and you can consume, you can binge consume it. And then if you go into the offer stage, there's a whole section on presenting offers, creating and presenting offers, and you binge consume that as well. So, no, I wouldn't, you know, if you're presented with an opportunity, I would look into the site and see what education you have. I would call over to the office, call over to your coach. I mean, we'll walk you through it.
Okay, good enough. Thank you.
All right, welcome aboard.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, who's next on the list?
Okay, we have somebody just pressed star zero. Let me go ahead and get that name for you.
All right. And while she's doing that, I just want to remind everybody that this year, and probably the only year, we decided that we are going to live stream Ultimate Partnering event. So, and it's for a discounted price because you're not going to be there, you're not going to be able to participate in the networking. But you will be able to participate in some virtual networking because we have a totally built out social media platform for this as well, which will be explained in the opening at the opening of the event. But in order to get as many people that are interested to get in, especially since we were partially sold out, we developed this live stream. You go to ultimatepartnering.com, and you'll find a very discounted price there. And you'll get to see the event live and get some great education. So who's next, operator?
Okay. Up next is Pam. Pam, please go ahead.
Hi, Dave. It's Pam Medallion in Houston.
Pam, what's going on in Houston?
Nothing much. The market's too over the top here, so I'm looking elsewhere.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. I would just I know I've read this before, but I don't remember where to go back and find it. When you're talking to a broker and they ask you your criteria for multifamily, I know there's a number of things that you mentioned. I remember some of them, but I was just wondering if you could list all of them. I know there's job growth, there's a major highway going, access to a major highway, and population 100,000 or more. What is the other one?
Universities would be a good airport with a major carrier, well, at least one major carrier. Being a health hub where everybody goes for the health.
Hold on, I'm writing this down. Major. Okay, I got to write it down or I'll forget. Okay, airport with major carrier, and then what was it, a health club you said?
Health hub,
okay.
Hub, everybody goes for the health. And also regional, it's a regional health hub, regional shopping, where everybody goes for the shopping as well. Those all help.
Okay.
And then kindergarten through sixth grade enrollment, you want the submarket that's growing the fastest.
Okay, hold on. Kindergarten with sixth grade enrollment. Okay. There's a place near Oklahoma City that I was kind of interested in. It's just about 20 miles from Oklahoma City, and they've got a population of 90,100 something, and I found out they have two universities in the town. So would you let that slide, even though just being under 100,000, you think it's okay? Since they have two major, you know, two universities there?
You know, there's a lot of other factors that go into that. So I would call the Economic Development Committee of that particular area, and I would ask them, you know, what type of job growth are they seeing? Also, the major thing is a 2% year-over-year job growth, or at least trending up.
2% year after year, okay.
Year over year, yeah. So I would call the Economic Development Committee and ask them, you know, first of all, what type of job growth are they seeing? Secondly, what types of companies are coming in? And then thirdly, what are they doing to incentivize the job growth? So if there's good job growth in the area, then I like it. I mean, that's really the biggest factor. And then you look for all these other stuff as bonuses.
Yeah, so the 100,000 isn't a hard and fast rule Is that what you're
saying? You don't want to go much less, let's put it that way.
Okay.
The less you go, the lower the number of people that are going to buy that property when you're ready to resell it. So it's really a cash flow play, you know, instead of
okay.
an appreciation play, which we both
okay.
of our money in appreciation.
I just didn't remember where to find the list of the things that you'd mentioned, but this is good. Well, I appreciate it. We'll see you in a couple of days.
We'll see you at the UP9.
Okay. Bye.
Listen,
thank you.
Eat a lot before you come because you're going to be so busy you won't be able to eat. Bring snacks.
Okay, yeah, I always do that. And then, you know what I just learned since you're into health? I got an email because I'm always getting emails from health companies. Cucumbers are like a wealth of nutrition. I never knew that.
You know what one of the joys of summer is?
A lot of cucumbers.
Sandwiches. You know what happened last week?
Oh, I think I heard you say that.
I love cucumbers.
Yeah.
I had one for lunch today. I've got a,
I did.
In my garden. Yeah, in my garden I grow cucumbers, tomatoes, and zucchini. I tried to grow.
I thought about that. I thought I should start growing cucumbers because the organic ones are really expensive in the store and probably not as fresh, so that's what was my thought. And they're just packed with vitamins and things, so I was amazed. I never knew that.
Not only that, they're good for your eyes. So you put them on your eyes before, when you go to sleep and take all the baths
yeah.
in the morning.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. We'll see you later.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Who's next? Who's next on the Wisecracker line?
Okay. Up next we have Freddie. Freddie, please go ahead.
Dave, this is Freddie again. One question is, I would like to know what's your take on the current market trend and the market cycles. And I know that you're the master of the market cycles, but everywhere I read, it says that the rent prices are skyrocketed at the high prices of the properties as well. So everything aims that we're just on the peak where everybody should be selling instead of buying. So what's your take on that?
It all depends on what market you're in. Yeah, there's a lot of markets that are at the edge. And there are markets that are marching towards the edge. And then there are markets that are just starting to march. And those are the smaller tertiary, secondary tertiary type of markets that are just starting to march. I just got actually a fresh list of markets. Let me see if I can pull it up. They're all small markets. There are no major large emerging markets right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see, hold on. So let me see. So markets like Madison's a good market. Madison is really starting to move. Let me see. Brunswick. Georgia, El Paso is starting to move after being down for a while, Knoxville, Tennessee, Lakeland, Winter Haven, Florida, Lewiston, Idaho, Mankato. This is for Mr. McKenna that wrote a question in earlier. Mankato,
mm-hmm.
Minnesota, and North Mankato are a smaller market that's starting to move. And that's so there's some smaller markets that are just starting to move. Asheville, which is a great area to visit. I would love. It's just hard to get to.
Asheville or Nashville?
Asheville.
Asheville? That's what state?
That's in one of the Carolinas. It's either South or North.
Oh,
Carolina.
Really?
Yeah.
South Carolina?
Beautiful area. I think it's South. It could be North.
Okay, Asheville, Carolinas.
Doesn't say
Carolinas.
Here.
Exactly. So basically major
areas. So
those
are markets that are just starting to move up the curve, and then there's a lot of markets that are like midway.
Okay, those are cities of 100,000 above population.
You know what? They should be. This is from actually Scott Stafford, who has the REI indicator software for emerging markets. So I was talking to him, and he said he's going to be speaking at Ultimate Partnering 9. I said, Scott, you're going to have to – I want you to give the five best – new markets in his presentation, and he said, I said, send it to me before you do. So he sent me this long list. It's not the five best. He just sent me this list of what's moving. So he's going to whittle it down to the five best from there.
Okay. Can we subscribe to that software, or is just
what's that?
Or institution? Can we get the subscription for that software, the license, or how does it work?
Yeah. He is, it's reindicator.com.
The
version 2.0 is coming out in September. He's been promising that for a year. He had a couple of health problems, but version 2.0 is coming out in September. But it's pretty amazing software. Jeff used to use it when he was doing his immersions. And what he would do is, you know, the software tells you where you should be investing in any particular city. It tells you the ABCs and D areas, and tells you where the market is on the curve. And then the next version is going to tell you on an ongoing basis, you know, where the winds are, where the market's heading in the current marketplace. So it will give you sell signals as well. I mean, it's going to get really sophisticated. What he's got planned for that software is unbelievable. But
sure.
Right now, the startup level.
Did he do the presentation on UP7? With long hair?
Yeah, that's right. That's him.
Okay, so I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, it's very good software.
Yep.
Perfect. Well, I didn't know that it was available now.
Yeah, it's still available.
Okay, perfect. Do you have any take on Newark, New Jersey? Last time you did a presentation, well, actually, it was in the boot camp. You mentioned that Newark, New Jersey is one of the emerging markets, but then when I did the research, I mean, rents are sky high, and they are only for major developers. They give, like, rent control free for 15 years or 20 years, something like that. But
those
there
are,
is nothing like...
Well, the developers are getting the, just like we talked about earlier, about the limited housing tax credit, so that's what they're doing there. But Newark and New Jersey, investing in the right areas, is still a market that's doing well because it somewhat rebounds off of New York City and Jersey City, which is doing really well right now as well.
Yeah.
So it's a lower class property play, but if you're in the right areas in Newark, it's still good.
Okay. Perfect. Great. Hey, thank you, Dave, again.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Back out there. All right. So who is next?
Okay. Up next, we have Cynthia. Cynthia, please go ahead.
Hi, Dave. This is Cynthia with Center Management down in Fort Worth, Texas. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? Did you come to one of our events?
No. I have come to a couple. I've been to Immersion. And
when I did the presentation down there, are you the one that popped up and said, hey, I manage for a lot of your students, and now I want to do it too?
No, that's not me.
Okay. If it wasn't, we definitely shared a moment back then. I just wanted to refresh.
Oh, well, maybe a UP9 will share a moment. Let's have a new moment. Hey, well, that's what my question is about UP9. Is there an online detailed schedule of what's going to be taking place every day, all day? Like, where do we go? What time do we need to be there?
For the first time ever, there's going to be a schedule inside the manual.
Oh, yay. Okay.
Normally we just keep it blind because it's changing all the time. And when we make changes, when we first started doing it, people are like, oh, you said, you know, this is going to happen, and it's there, and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, come on. So then we start keeping the schedule. But this year, the full schedule's in there. So it's an 8:30 start, and it will tell you who's coming on and when they're coming on, where you want to
go. Oh, that's great. Okay, that's great. And we get that when we register Thursday evening?
Yep, it'll be in the manual. The manual's not too thick, but one of the things that are in there is that schedule.
That's perfect. That's what we need. That's great. Is there an organized dinner of any kind? Didn't we hear in the past that there was like a Harvard dinner or some kind of get-together?
No, there was a couple of years ago. I had the mastermind group. The people that joined the mastermind group, I had them over to the Harvard Club for dinner.
Okay. Okay, great. All right, well, we're looking forward to it.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't wait. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll see you there.
I look forward to it. All right, bye-bye.
All right, so let's see. I'm going to answer a question from Michael Brooks, who writes in, do you know of any websites that give you the local owner's name? I live in Florida. I'm trying to find owners in South Carolina, Virginia. You have to buy those lists. You can buy the list from Dunhill. You can buy them from Claritas. And they'll give you the local owner's names. Or you can buy it from the assessor's office. The assessor will give you. If you look in your manual, your apartment house riches manual, it has the letter that you send over to the assessor's office. and the step-by-step on how to get the names and all that. So that's that. And then I have one more writing question. That's from Pam Adalian from Houston. She writes in, when buying, what are the criteria I should be telling the broker so they can help me better? Well, just go down the broker script, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a property where you can get at least a 10% cash-on-cash return in a B or a C area. And then that's basically what you're looking for. But if you go down the script, it will give you the other questions as well. And then if you know the city and if you want to be in a particular area of the city, let them know that as well. Let them know what size building you want to buy and or what your price range per unit is. Those are the things you want to tell them. All right, who's next?
Okay, we have no further questions at the moment.
Okay, well, we're almost at the top of the hour, so what I'm going to do is we got so much work to do for Ultimate Property 9. Everything's crazy around here. Tammy, who is my sister, her son, who joined the Rangers, got pneumonia while he was in there, and he actually had to have a major operation to remove a massive infection on the inside and outside of his lungs. So she is down at the base down there in Georgia. He's having a little bit of a problem with one of his lungs. He has to have it pumped up every 6 hours to keep the liquid from to flow out. So they have him on an epidural for the next 5 days. So she is not going to be at the event, first one that she will miss. So we're doing a lot of shuffling around, and she's really the backroom coordinator. I don't think people realize how much work Tammy does here. You know, they know that I'm the founder of Ari Mentor, but very few people know that she's also a partner. And she's really the backbone of the operation. I'm the big picture guy, but she makes it all happen in the background. So without her there, we're scrambling to make sure that everything will go smoothly, which we have a very competent staff. We're just moving people in different positions to work that out. And not only that, everybody's putting their final touches on their presentation, so we give a good quality educational event. And not only that, as you know, if you've been there before, the networking is absolutely phenomenal. And for those that just can't get there for some reason or another, you can go to ultimatepartnering.com, and you can watch. You can watch the presentations live. You can watch Emmett Smith. There'll also be a virtual. It's not going to be as good as being there with the networking because you're going to be face-to-face shaking hands. But we've got they call it a virtual wall. I'm not quite sure what it is. A lot of people that are familiar with social media know what it is, but we've got a really smart guy here. His name is John May, and he created a virtual wall for us. So you could be networking as well for the people online. So that's happening too. So I'm going to bid everybody adieu. You know what your homework is, even though you're going to be – well, if you go to UP9, you're certainly going to get yourself in a lot of networking situations because you're going to meet a lot of people in a short period of time, especially during that speed networking process. But if you're not, you got to get out there and get yourself in the two networking situations, and you got to get yourself get two offers in. You know, the rule still remains the same, two and two. You do two and two, and you cannot help but be successful. So I am excited to see a lot of you at the Ultimate Partnering event in a couple of days. It's going to be a great time. Get plenty of sleep. Rest your jaws. Get plenty to eat before you go because you're going to be working off of fumes by the time you leave there on Sunday. But you know what? You're going to be smiling the whole way. So see you there. And for the rest of you, Jeannie will be on Tuesday, and it's going to be a Let's Grill Jeannie. All right. Bye, everybody. Talk soon.